time to go out and...
From that nightclub, that cold nightclub at the end of the world, this is Michael Rupert, Tracker of Truth. It is Sunday, the 6th of January, 2013. Yeah, here we are. Okay, man, what do I start off the year? Of course, a lot of energies are changing and shifting, and most of us are just still kind of getting over the fact that the holidays and the solstice have come and gone. And we have come through them into what is increasingly, I think, becoming apparent as a new kind of world. And there are changes afoot. Some of them are very encouraging. Some of them are kind of heartbreaking. Tonight's show, I'm focusing with serious emphasis on the feminine, on the female. We've talked so much about the balancing and the liberation, the prophecy of the eagle and the condor, the liberation of the female, the liberation of Mother Earth. But this has been a very, very powerful week for women in a couple of different directions. So this show, contrary to what we've seen in some instances around the world, is about a man who has his place secure as a man, focusing on changes that all have to do with the feminine, upon which our lives, I believe, rest, our lives and our futures. First, I want to say a huge thank you to Lily McQuare, who sent me a Christmas present. Didn't get here until a couple days ago. It was actually the first Christmas present I received. But it's this incredible coffee mug, and they have taken the picture of me in rags off of the PRN host page where my picture is with my dog, and it somehow wound up on a coffee mug. And this is now my favorite coffee mug ever, and it will go with me wherever I go for as long as I live. And Lily, thank you so much for sending me that. Rags loves it. He's sending you a big lick, and I am too. And also thanks to my good friend Scott Hall. Bless you, brother. You write all the time. Great messages. You have a letter coming. And to everybody who has sent Christmas cards and messages, I think I've answered almost everybody who was kind enough to send gifts, financial gifts that showed up earlier in the month. And I hope I'm caught up with all of that. But if not, please accept my great thank you here and now to all of you who took the time to drop a line to me and the dog and Duggan, everything that's going on here. What an amazing week this has been. It has been so cold here. Nights have been 16, 18 below. Sometimes the daytime high has been zero or less. And that means a lot of cooped up time in an isolated house in the middle of the San Luis Valley, where the closest store is 24 miles away. Now, into this cold environment, we were in a monstrously compressed and compacted writing recording session for about 8 days with Chris Vigard, with her husband Brian was up. We had other musicians coming in, but it was a cramped house in a cold space. And maybe there is something to that, because what Doug Lewis and the rest of us are coming up with here is an amazing body of work. We now have 18 original songs, and some of these are just breathtaking. Now, they aren't done yet. There's a long process in the process from writing, recording, laying tracks, but you have to go back, and I will have to sing each one of these songs maybe 40 or 50 times before I record a final vocal track. We will have to get other instrumentation in, but I'm really pleased. But you can tell that this was a little crucible here. I mean, the week took a lot out. But I am grateful for what the creative muse has left us. Now we have to go and we have to go back really now and start working on these tracks to clean them up now, and to get, you know, like a keyboard player to come in, a banjo player to come in, a mandolin player to come in, to start laying, so that we can get songs that will then be mixed and mastered for release. But I'm just thrilled to death. And unlike New White Trash, the clear energy here is to play out with these songs. In other words, to get a band and hit the road. And that is the, contrary to popular belief, the number one item on my bucket list. We'll have to raise some money for that, and I'm sure it'll come somehow. I know there's a lot of great musicians who listen to this show. We're just thoroughly jazzed with what we have. Anybody who's been in a band house writing with an intense writing on a project and recording like this, you know what the experience is like. And it was worthwhile. It was worthwhile, but it was a great learning experience for me too. And Bob Rice, who mastered us at New White Trash, Bob, his last project before working with us at New White Trash was for Roger Waters. Bob Rice is now working with Paul Simon, but he said he will be back for us to mix and master when we get the tracks finished up. So that's a real positive thing. And this is some just really exciting music that does have a new feel to it. So I want to talk about that and share that. We're going to do two songs tonight. And as I've been going through this week, I've also, of course, been just, you know, living life and hanging out. Thanks to everybody for all the support for me almost driving off the cliff. Some of the comments were very interesting, like, you know, go buy these kind of snow tires and go buy that. Folks, I'm dead broke. And I just found out I'm four payments behind on a Toyota RAV4 2008, that I've made 53 or 54 consecutive monthly payments on time until I lost everything last summer. Now they're talking about repossessing this car, and I don't know the laws, but it occurs to me that if I'm only four payments away, they couldn't take the whole car. I think the laws are clear that they would, if they did, they'd have to sell it and give me the cash back, which means it wouldn't be feasible for them to cost-effective for them to come out and try to repo the car. I'm not terribly worried about it, only because my consciousness is different. But it prompted me to come up this week with one of the greatest, I think it may be one of my most notable quotes, if not the most. There was a Facebook guy who just said, you know, he just assumed, like many people do, hey, you're, you know, a movie star and this and all that and so on and so forth. You must be rich. Well, no, I'm not. And I wrote back on the Facebook comment about my life's work. I said, I didn't do it for money. I did it for change. Yeah. Anyway, that's what we're all in this for. We're all in this for the change together, and we are writing this out together as a family, and it's a cool thing. Now, with regard to women and what's been going on, there has been, I don't think anybody has not heard about the horrible gang rape in India that took place 2.5 hours, and her male friend was beaten, and the police, and it had prompted, it has prompted enormous civil unrest across India. I don't consider this to be an exclusively Indian problem, but it does indicate, and I have seen other stories on CNN about serious rapes in Ohio, and I'm getting a strong sense that violent, unprovoked attacks on women are on the rise. And I interpret that as a sign that the energy really is shifting, and the woman is being liberated, and that the unenlightened male energy, which has imprisoned this planet for the last sun, that has repressed, raped, and brutalized Mother Earth and all of the female, all of the feminine everywhere, that sick part of maleness is reacting to its imminent death and demise. I don't consider, I'm not going to point exclusively, we are going to play a tape from India that symptomatizes this, that exemplifies this, but this is not strictly an Indian problem. It is a problem in the old male consciousness that is finding it so hard to let go, but I don't think it can. So that there's a weave to this tonight. And I want you to roll with me tonight as I just salute, I honor, and I hold space for all of the brave women who are stepping up to lead now, who are finding their authority, finding their voice, who are exemplifying this shift, this balancing, this restoration of the female to an equal place in a matrilineal society on a feminine planet. First, I want to read a couple of quotes, and this is actually related, even though it seems to be about indigenous peoples. Indigenous peoples are among those, and they're probably first and foremost, who are the defenders of Mother Earth, and who are and who remain as a result of their loyalty and devotion to the traditional teaching of how to relate to all life on the planet. Joanna Bolt is a Facebook friend, and earlier today she posted this on my Facebook page, and this is just an amazing, breathtaking quote. She writes, "This should be taught in all Canadian schools. Please share with non-native Canadians." Well, it needs to be shared with everyone around the world. Quote, "The term final solution was not coined by the Nazis, but by Indian Affairs Superintendent Duncan Campbell Scott," that's a Canadian, "in April of 1910, when he referred to how he envisioned the Indian problem in Canada being resolved. Scott was describing planned murder when he came up with the expression, since he first used it in response to a concern raised by a West Coast Indian agent about the high level of death in the coastal residential schools." It was a custom all over North America to just forcibly take Indian children and put them in white-run boarding schools where they were. There's a whole lot of things that was done to them. On April 12, 1910, Scott wrote, well, now listen to this, "It is readily acknowledged that the Indian children lose their natural resistance to illness by habitating so closely in these schools, and that they die at a much higher rate than in their villages. But this alone does not justify a change in the policy of this department, which is geared toward the final solution of our Indian problem. Department of Indian Affairs Superintendent D.C. Scott to B.C. Indian Agent General Major D. McKay, DIA Archives," it's in Canada. It's on the website CanadianGenocideNativeWeb.org, genocide.pdf. Just go to CanadianGenocide.nativeWeb.org. Okay, there's a little perspective for you. Now that leads to, excuse me, it's very dry here. This leads us to the Idle No More movement, which is now having a major serious impact all across Canada. And I'll read you the history of that in a minute, but this was also posted on my Facebook page today. "Why all Canadians should support the Idle No More movement." Quote, "Amidst the hugely popular national movement against tar sands, tankers, and pipelines that would cross Aboriginal territories, Canadians are starting a different narrative. Aligning with First Nations that have strong legal rights and a fierce attachment to their lands and waters may, in fact, offer the surest chance of protecting the environment and climate. Get behind Aboriginal communities that have vetoes over unwanted development, and everyone wins." That was by Martin Lucas, writing in The Guardian. That's from Earth Tribe Activist News. Now, Idle No More has arisen as a result of, in Canada, the Harper government is the equivalent of Bush Cheney arriving in Washington on steroids. Excuse me again. And they are railroading massive, what they call omnibus legislation, where they write about 50 bills and tie them into one bill in a package, tie a ribbon around them. And these bills are absolutely atrocious. Here's from the Idle No More website, and what's interesting about Idle No More is that it is led by women, and it is having a very powerful effect across Canada, but I believe it's also stirring something much deeper. The Idle No More website is idlenomore.blogspot.com. And here's the history. Idle No More began with four ladies, Nina Wilson, Sylvia McAdam, Jessica Gordon, and Sheila McLean, who felt it was urgent to act on current and upcoming legislation that not only affects our First Nations people, but the rest of Canada's citizens, lands, and waters. The focus is on grassroots voices, treaty, and sovereignty. It began in the early part of October when discussing Bill C-45. That's this huge omnibus bill that has basically chopped by 80-90% the rivers, the waterways that are protected from. It has just destroyed all environmental protection throughout northern Canada. All four women knew that this was time to act, as this bill and other proposed legislation would affect not only Indigenous people, but also the lands, water, and the rest of Canada. With the focus on the most urgent bill, knowing it would initiate attention to all other legislation, the four ladies held rallies and teach-ins to generate discussion and provide information. They then decided a nationwide event was garnered so all could participate. Thus, the National Day of Solidarity and Resurgence was called for December 10th, 2012, to oppose all legislation. Well, of course, that legislation, of course, was railroaded through. Posting in December, the website continues. Less than 3 weeks ago, four women from Saskatchewan, indigenous and non-indigenous, decided they could no longer stay silent in the face of what is a legislative attack on First Nation people and the lands and waters across the country. And they wrote, C-45 is not just about a budget. It is a direct attack on First Nations lands and on the bodies of water we all share from across this country. It's a great read throughout the website, and it's pretty inspiring. And if you have been following this on the news, it's been very active on my Facebook page, you see that there have really been, I won't say earth-changing yet, I will say earth-shaking developments, starting in part, or I guess best known as a result of the continuing hunger strike, now 20-some days, perhaps 30 days, of the Attawapiskat Chief Teresa Spence, a female chief who was on a hunger strike on Victoria Island right outside Ottawa, the Canadian Parliament in Ottawa. And there have been protests which have shut down railroads all over the country, shut down freeways, and women are leading this. And I am happy to see that, because it is women now speaking from a position of authority. And I think that power is being sensed. Now, Harper, who was, you know, like George Bush, has been forced now to meet with First Nations leaders on January 11th. And so this is a sign of women's emerging energy and the emergence of female authority, which will have many on edge. I, of course, salute it, as does every sane, sentient male who is an honorable man and honorable warrior. Women give life and men protect it. So there's some great inspiration, great, for me, I think, tangible proof of an emergence of feminine leadership and feminine energy, which is going to seem extremely foreign and extremely threatening to me. And I believe that threatening energy is what's behind some of the stuff we're going to talk about in a minute. But I want to play our first song of the night tonight, and of course I'm saluting women. And here I stepped back and I took a higher ground. We talk about the mystical approach, and in almost every mystical teaching of every persuasion and color, it's very clear that most of the world believes in reincarnation, but we believe that we choose life lessons, and in the end it all works out, but our souls choose to go to the highest and to the darkest places so that we can experience contrast, so that we can overcome, and so that we can learn from that and share. Now, that's a very high, lofty view from much higher dimension toward great creator, when you can stand that far back and stand apart. But it is the truth. Ultimately, I believe everybody and everything learns. And therefore, some of the greatest spiritual lessons fit on bumper stickers. Wherever you go, there you are. And that's what we are finding on this planet. Wherever we go, we are also on this planet. But one of the most inspiring spiritual songs that I've ever heard, and that still inspires me to this day, is a song by a woman, a female songwriter I greatly, greatly admire. Her name is Alanis Morissette, and the song is called You Learn.
Walking around naked in your living room.
Thanks, Atlantis. Atlantis, that's pretty good. Thanks, Atlantis. We needed that. We did, and that helps us to step back sometimes when the fire gets a little too hot, to take a bit of perspective to step out. Now, before we go to break, and I have to apologize to my board operator in New York. I had told her to queue up an audio clip, which we will play after the break. But before we go to break, I want to read a very short, excellent article from the Extinction Protocol. You can find this at the extinctionprotocol.wordpress.com. And this is called Earth in Crisis. It just came out a couple days ago. And these folks, who appear to be geologists, are very, very incisive. And they get things and they see things. And this was dated January 5th, which is yesterday. When I read this, this really struck the note about what was in my heart, about what's been going on the last week, 10 days or so. Dated January 5th, and this is some very scary geology, but it is also more indication, and if you will, from my perspective, it's more affirmation, confirmation, that our planet is alive and is coming alive and is undergoing great changes. Now, listen, there's some geologic information here, but it's going to weave back in this article to women. But it's very important information. Now, think about this as I read it. Conditions on the planet continue to deteriorate, particularly in respect to more pronounced climate extremes seen across hemispheres, and the number of volcanoes that are continuously erupting. The planet is undergoing dynamic change. Remember this shift from the male to the female to the balancing, whereby we're seeing early evidence that the physical dynamics of the planet are moving toward a spectrum of greater instability. This is happening as the planet's magnetic field continues to abate in strength. This is suggestive that we've passed the Rubicon. Thank you for the mention, sort of. That we've passed the Rubicon in this internal process of a geological shift that has been brought on by an anomalistic fluctuation of thermal gradient in the planet's outer core. Hold on. We'll explain that. Consequently, change is now uniform, and these Earth changes can now generate events which will affect the entire planet. Now the examples. We had a 4.6 magnitude earthquake in Falcon, Venezuela on January 4th, 2013, and that earthquake was immediately followed by a 4.3 earthquake in the Seram Sea and a 4.9 in Halmahera, Indonesia. Listen to this. Both points on the globe are on exact opposite ends of the planet. We call it an antipodal tangent. On January 5th, we had a 5.1 magnitude earthquake on the Mid-Indian Range, and that was followed approximately 4.5 hours later by an earthquake near the antipodal point of the Cascadian Fault with a 7.5 magnitude earthquake in southeastern Alaska. That was a big one. What this means is the entire planet is now starting to resonate from this heightened state of seismicity. The Bible prophesied in Isaiah 24:20, there would come a time in the very near future where the earth would be reeling to and fro or back and forth like a drunkard. This is a state of resonant seismicity resulting from the impact of very large cluster earthquakes, or what we refer to in geology as an earthquake storm. Breaking Bad. In April of 2012, a leading earthquake scientist warned in the Croatian Times that the planet could be cracking up after a series of massive quakes in just 48 hours. Expert Gheorghe Marmuraniu from Romania's National Institute of Earth Physics says 39 quakes hit the globe within 2 days in April. The series started with two massive quakes in Indonesia measuring 8.6 and 8.2 on the Richter scale, rapidly followed by three more, only slightly smaller, in Mexico within hours. There is no doubt that something is seriously wrong. This is a quote. There have been too many strong earthquakes, said Marmuraniu. He added The quakes are a surprise that cannot be easily explained by current scientific knowledge. With the Indonesian quake, for example, statistically there should be one big earthquake in this part of Asia every 500 years. However, since 2004, there were already three quakes with a magnitude of over 8, which is not normal. In September of 2012, scientists said the Indo-Australian plate near Indonesia was in the early stages of breaking in pieces. Now, that's the first half of this article, but I love what they did because they come back and they tie this to moral degeneracy and what's happening with women. And I think it's a marvelous observation. We will bring that up when we come back after this message. But what you just heard is scientific evidence now that earthquakes and volcanoes are happening in resonance so that the whole planet now is starting to vibrate with this change. And these changes aren't isolated. There is a manifestation on other parts of the planet so that the planet itself seems to be waking up seismically and getting ready for some major changes. Well, we're all ready for that. So we are now at the bottom of the hour. This is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, on the Lifeboat Hour here at PRN.FM. We will be back with you right after these messages. New White Trash will take you out with Lou White, Lululemons, and we'll bring you back the same way. Came from another dimension. That's the lyrics from Lululemon's, a new White Trash song from 3 years ago now, but we've got a whole new body of work. We're thinking about a band name, and I've just thrown one out. We are not wedded to anything, but one came up that kind of stuck with me. What would you think of a band called Altitude? I don't know. Might be like Air Supply. I don't know. These are things that you kick around. We will get to that stuff when we get further with these 18 new original songs that I'm totally excited about. I'm going into serious rehearsal to start singing each one of these 18 songs 40 or 50 times before I lay down a final vocal track, and we're getting some there's amazing musical talent around here, and this is coming together like it's a project that has just been hatched out of us. Doug Lewis is a giant in terms of productivity. He's a genius recording engineer and producer who writes and does everything on the fly, and it's a privilege to work with him. But we're really looking forward to this, and I'm looking forward to putting together a band and actually doing some of these live, but we'll keep you posted on that. Now let's go back to that article that I was reading before the break. That was pretty amazing stuff about what's happening with seismic events all over the world, that there are now sympathetic responses all over the planet, as if the whole planet is just getting ready to start doing this all the time. And clearly, I think that has been foretold, and we should be aware of that, just as we should be aware of the horrendous rate of climate change and collapse and all of those problems. But this same article that just put all that great geographic information picks up, segues almost without a beat, from leaving off with the with segueing from the geologic stuff to moral degeneracy. And this is the same article from the Extinction Protocol. Earth in crisis, is the planet on the verge of a meltdown? It's on my Facebook page, but you'll find it on their page too. They write, and it's not just a physical crisis the planet is suffering from. Civilization as a whole appears to be on the verge of unraveling. We saw the increase in violence, rise in ethnic strife, and moral degeneracy that plagued Rome before the empire began to unravel. A near-endless bloody civil war continues in Syria that has claimed nearly 60,000 human lives. Economic hardships, high unemployment, austerity measures, and crushing debt loads plague many countries, including the world's three largest economies, the U.S., China, and Japan. mass shooting incidents appear to be on the rise in the U.S. Violence has become pandemic in many regions of the world, from China to Brazil, even as gun sales continue to set records in the U.S. Just this week, a sergeant in Saudi Arabia's Air Force was jailed in Las Vegas on charges that he pulled a boy into a hotel room and sexually assaulted him the morning of Sin City's big New Year's Eve fireworks extravaganza. Mazen Alotaibi, 23, faces charges including kidnapping, sexual assault with a minor, and other felonies. Gang rapes and violence against women occur frequently across India, Afghanistan, and many regions of Africa, where women have very little or almost no rights in male-dominated societies. Some of the crises coming out of India speak of unmitigated horrors. The suffering of a university student and her male friend who were brutally attacked aboard a bus in India's capital did not end after the woman was gang-raped and both were savagely beaten for 2.5 hours on December 16, 2012, in New Delhi. Dumped naked on a roadside, the pair encountered shocking apathy as passersby offered only cursory looks, and police debated jurisdiction for 30 minutes before taking them to a hospital where the man received no treatment as he sat without clothes on the floor for hours, their friend recounted in a television interview. If you think that was an isolated incident, consider the fact that 25 cases of assault were reported across India during the week of the New Delhi incident. Now I'm going to go back to the board in New York, and I'm going to ask to cue a tape, Women Under Attack, from an Indian news station. It's a 2.5 minute clip, and I would ask every male listening to this tonight to just go inside as you listen to this, close your eyes, and try to hold space and picture yourself loving and showing compassion towards every one of these crimes that you're about to hear about. Let's roll this tape from India.
India was protesting in large numbers. There were 25 other women who were either being raped or molested, women whose stories would disappear in public records as mere statistics. Simi Pasha reports.
Gang raped, tortured, harassed by the accused and the police. This 17-year-old was driven to suicide by an uncaring criminal justice system. She was repeatedly summoned by policemen and asked to describe details of the rape. Shaken by the brutality of the crime and the apathy of the police, the Punjab and Haryana High Court has taken suo motu cognizance and issued a notice to the IG asking for a report by the 8th of January. An embarrassed Punjab police has itself admitted lapses.
Why does it take a suicide or a brutal rape like the one in Delhi for the administration to sit up and take note? When protests were raging on in the national capital against the rape of the 23-year-old medical student, almost 25 such cases were reported from across the country in that same 1 week.
On 17 September, a 3-year-old was sedated and raped inside her play school in Delhi. In Uttar Pradesh's Faizabad, a rape victim was allegedly raped by the investigating officer. In Ahmedabad, a 2.5-year-old girl was raped by a relative and dumped in a field. She died in hospital on Christmas Day. In Hyderabad, a 5-year-old was raped by her neighbor. In Trombay, a 15-year-old differently abled girl was raped. In Mumbai, a Nepalese woman was raped by 3 men in different locations on the same day. In Srinagar, a woman was dragged into a jungle, gagged, and then gang-raped. In Agartala, a young woman was allegedly stripped, gang-raped, and battered in full public view. In Imphal, a Manipur film actress was molested by a political leader, leading to violence on the streets. And in Sagar in Madhya Pradesh, 3 workers of a government hospital raped a woman who had come to get her daughter treated for burn injuries. Just a few blips on the rape map of India. There are many others who don't even find a mention in police records. With Bureau Inputs in New Delhi, Simi Pasha.
Now, I want to be clear that I am not singling out India or Indian men in particular. This is, you know, that was, like, hard to listen to. But I will go back to the line from the Extinction Protocol article that says male-dominated societies, and I would submit that we live in one in the United States as well. And I do believe that there is a if you will, tension or conflict in that rising female consciousness, emerging female power and authority, feminine power and authority. True, that's not in service to infinite growth. That is in harmony with the nature of Mother Earth as a planet and every indigenous spiritual practice that has remained safe from the executioners or the Inquisition's acts has held. That obviously there's some tension building here, and I'm staying on the optimistic side, but I think it's very important that we recognize, and we especially men speak out against these crimes against women and the defenseless. That is the true role of a warrior, is to protect those who cannot fight, who aren't supposed to fight. The warrior's job is to put their body and their heart in between the enemy and the things that they love. But this was a pretty obvious, set of circumstances here that the Extinction Protocol picked up on, and I certainly have, energetically. We've got about 15 minutes left. If you'd like to call in tonight and check in, please do. The number is 1-888-874-4888, 1-888-874-4888. Let's hear what you have to think about this balancing of male and female energies, and let us pray that these grotesque displays of sexual and violence against females by men who really don't get it are passing and transitory and truly signs of the end of an old age. In the meantime, to heal all this, and that was all pretty intense stuff, we're going to play a second song tonight, and we'll come back and see if anybody's on the line. If not, I'll talk about a vision quest I'm thinking about. I have to go to my other fave, and they both kind of look alike, but of course it's time to hear from a folk goddess, someone who just fully embodies what this new age, this new era of balance with the feminine and the age of the goddess looks like. That, of course, is Diane Patterson, who just had a birthday December 28th on her Facebook page. Slum some water. On her Facebook page, there was this great picture of her in Mexico, I believe, in a bathing suit. And I juxtaposed that with this picture of me freezing my butt off at 5 below in Crestone, Colorado. And I said, I much prefer your attire to mine, but obviously the right person is wearing it. Happy birthday, Diane Patterson, folk goddess. Now, take all of this energetic stuff we've been talking about with the male and the female. As we sit back and listen to a song I haven't played in full on a while here, but it's called High Sierra Morning, and I think we all need to hear it right now. Here it is.
We are honoring the First Nations.
Diane Patterson, wherever you are, DianePatterson.com. Just a great inspiration to us all, and from all of us men who are listening tonight to all the women who will hear this broadcast, know that there are many of us who will put our lives and our bodies in the way to prevent anything like that from happening to you, just as we are prepared to do for the sake of Mother Earth. Yeah, so we got a caller on the line. Dave from Lake Tahoe, are you still there after Diane Patterson? I guess we don't have Dave from Lake Tahoe.
I'm right here, bud.
Okay.
Hey, I love Diane Patterson. I get mesmerized by that song every time you play it. She's great.
Go to her Facebook page and check out the picture of her in this bathing suit on her birthday with this huge shit-eating grin on her face, just having the best old time in the world. And
what is it, DianePatterson.com?
No, if you're on Facebook, look her up on Facebook.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to let you know, I've called you a couple times before. I told you about I was a guy who used to live in the San Luis Valley and all
those
places to go to. Yeah, you remember me, don't you?
I sure do.
Hey, I was going to save you a little aggravation. You were talking about your band getting ready to get fired up. I told you I used to play out there. I'm a musician myself, and I put a band together a few years back before I moved out to Lake Tahoe out here, and I called it Altitude.
Uh-huh.
And this guy came after me, so I'm letting you know.
Okay.
There's a big deal going on out there, not too far from you. You guys got a production company and everything, and he calls it Altitude. So you might not want to get I'll print it up and I'll fire it up.
No. We're in the definite kicking it around stages, and that's why we do this. Thank you for the call. That's out.
I thought I'd save you the trouble, you know. But I'm going to be getting out that way soon, and I'll come and look you up, Mike, and we'll get together, brother.
You should. You can reach me on Facebook. You can just send me a message on Facebook anytime. I'll remember you, and I'd love to meet you, brother. I'd love to play some of the stuff we got.
All right, man. I'll be seeing you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, okay, so that band name's out. That's not important. That'll come. The point is we've got some great musicians around it, and Doug and I now are going to go into – actually, Doug's going to be doing most of the work, but I'm going to be doing a ton of rehearsing. But we're going to be bringing musicians. But we have 18 killer songs that kind of leave me and Doug breathless. Yeah, this was definitely a cruise. As a matter of fact, right toward the end of the writing project, it was kind of like a scene from the movie Almost Famous, but we were all trapped in this house for a while. We had kind of a blow-up like they had in the movie Almost Famous on the airplane when the chartered plane was going to go down there, all yelling and screaming and the plane shaking, you know. And finally, you know, just an instant before the plane pulls out, the drummer yells out, "I'm gay!" And then all of a sudden, that was a great scene. But what happened with us was what I'm considering now to be what will probably be the title song, certainly one of the most powerful songs, called Inner Reach, came out as a result of that. So remember, if you're going to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs, and that's what's happening in the world, and let's focus on that. I mentioned before we played Diane that I'm getting an ever more clear desire to follow a Lakota tradition, which is free from drugs, to pray and ask for a vision from spirit world, which is called the Vision Quest. And it requires months of preparation. It's not something anyone undertakes lightly, because what it involves is 4 days sitting outdoors in a circle, roughly a 30-foot circle, for 4 days with no food and no water. A medicine man will drop you off and come back and retrieve you at the end of the 4 days. And that is where you will see and hopefully experience a direct vision from the other side, and a message for you. And I'm really considering doing that. I've been invited to attend the Sundance at Pine Ridge on summer solstice, and I'm very much looking forward to that. Not as a dancer, but I'm hearing the call for the Vision Quest to do this, because I, like everybody else, we want to know more than anything else what we can do now to get on with this change, with this evolution, and to bring about, if you will, the collapse of the old way, not as an end, but as a beginning of a way that's much better. And I will be praying on that. And I want to thank several Native American medicine men who have been corresponding with me and the guidance. I feel the love from all of the indigenous peoples, the first peoples who have helped me, a white man who is not an Indian, to find his way where he is going. And I am still looking, if you will, for my tribe. But like everybody else now, it's 2013, and we are hungry for the change, and we are sick of the worsening conditions in the world. And we all want to know what we can do in our own consciousness to accelerate this. Nobody wants to see this kind of suffering. There was another shooting in Aurora, Colorado yesterday, and we know that all of this stuff is going to continue. But as I wrap up for this week and then start on the rehearsals for the songs, and hopefully there's something brewing in LA, but I just can't talk about it yet, and I hope to have something to say about that soon. And I'm not going to be worried about Toyota repossessing my car, because my consciousness is not there. And I do find that once one moves heavily into choosing to live in a consciousness of love, it is a snowball that does get bigger, and to stay away from fear. I will be taken care of. I'm going to be 62 years old on February 3rd. 62, I can go file for Social Security. I think it's $250 a week, but I'm going to file for it while I can get it on my birthday, February 3rd. We'll be doing a radio show that day. Now, Now is a time of enormous opportunity for all of us here on the Lifeboat Hour. Hopefully, we're all in community. We've all got food growing. We have all begun to change our consciousness and reorganize our lives and our activities to travel light, lightening our load and looking for ways to be of love. And don't feel alone if you are like me and go, the holidays are over, all of those emotionally charged dates have passed, and now here we are with each other and with this planet. And clearly the most significant thing I'm aware of in terms of the planet itself are these geologic seismic synchronicities that are appearing increasingly to show that the whole planet is apparently coming alive at once. And this would take you back, if you've read it, to Earth Crust Displacement, the work of Graham Hancock, and many of the prophecies. But those parts of the prophecies are coming true, obviously right in front of our eyes. But remember that they all promise on the other side is a rainbow and a golden age. We have a set of lyrics in one song. It's going to be a long, cold winter, my friend, but it's going to be a long, hot summer without end, meaning a golden age is coming. And let us hope and hope for and hold that in our consciousness until next week here on the Lifeboat Hour. This is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, January 6, 2013. I'm going to sign off tonight, send you a lot of love, and I'm going to be singing all week. And that couldn't hurt anybody or anything. I love you guys. I'll see you next week. Good night.